I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. Or in some versions it says, prepare the way of the Lord. Now John, of course, was literally in the wilderness. But as I reread these words this last week, I recognized that actually this is a description of how I feel very often. And I know from conversation many of you do too. As we find ourselves here in the last month of 2011 with massive levels of discontent in our country, increased anger at the growing disparity between rich and poor, and in a world where there's still widespread starvation and incessant bloodshed, not to mention the threat of economic and environmental collapse, just to cheer you all up, it's very easy to despair as we try to share the message that we have, which is so countercultural. The message of Isaiah, the message of John the Baptist, the message of Jesus, a message of justice, of selflessness, of service, of hope, of love, to a world which seems so impervious, so very deaf to anything of the sort. A world where most people's focus is firmly on themselves and their own perceived needs, not least, sadly, in these weeks leading up to Christmas. And here we have in the collect today, rather a convoluted collect, I think, even by the standard of collects, this prayer to God that he will prepare and granting to the ministers and stewards of your mysteries, that's us, that we may so prepare and make ready your way that we'll be able to turn the hearts of the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, which I think means that we'll be able to share our message and help people to see what it's all about. And so this Advent, once again, the voices ring out over the centuries. Make straight the way of the Lord. And as we move into this third Sunday of Advent, and as we eventually got the three candles lit, we're presented with a very interesting and challenging set of readings. And I'm going to refer to one or two of them, so you might like to keep them handy as I speak. The first 2 weeks of Advent provide challenges on a very grand scale, really, to the nations to repent and to turn from their wickedness, to be aware that the day of the Lord is coming. And the words of God quoted are of a sort of more general nature, comfort ye my people. But now on this third Sunday, the focus of Advent is narrowed down to individuals. Not so much to nations, but to individuals. As I say, this is reflected in the collect which Ruth just read to us. As we ask for God's help as ministers and stewards of his mysteries to prepare and make ready his way. Today's Advent theme is not so much a general call to nations as a specific call to you and me. Are we, are you, am I ready for the coming of the Lord? How straight is the way of the Lord into your life, into my life? The inspiration for John the Baptist were the words of the prophet Isaiah. And the passage which Laura read to us occurs at the end of the book of Isaiah and tells of a time when the political situation was changing and the Jewish people were in a really bad way. They were allowed to return back from exile in Babylon, back to their own land. But when they returned, they were confronted with a bleak spectacle, a desolate landscape, a temple where much had been destroyed. It was all pretty grim. There was so much for them to do. And into this situation speaks the prophet Isaiah, offering them tidings of comfort and joy. God is interested in you, he says, and he has sent a prophet to make this clear. God wishes to communicate good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to release people from their imprisonment. God wishes the sad to have a garland instead of ashes. He wishes them to have gladness instead of mourning. He wishes his people, those who follow his ways, to be called oaks of righteousness. Isn't that a great phrase? Oaks of righteousness, standing strong, above all else, shining out, dominating the landscape, so that all who see them shall acknowledge that they are people whom the Lord is blessing. This is the message of Isaiah to these people in these grim times. There is much to be positive, he says, for those whom God has clothed with garments of salvation. God loves justice, and those who live by his word and do what is right will be blessed, and they will bring a blessing to others. And the passage in Isaiah ends with the metaphor of spring following winter, an image repeated incidentally in Psalm 126, which is also on our sheet, where we read, "Those who go out weeping, carrying the seed, will come again with joy, shouldering their sheaves." Those who go out weeping, carrying the seed, will come again with joy, shouldering their sheaves. In times of difficulty, God will lead those who turn to him, those who follow his ways, and make them fruitful. Q. John the Baptist, 550 years later. Look again at John's responses recorded in the passage which John read to us just now, as the religious readers try to find out more about him. This passage actually tells us what John was not. He was not the light. He was not the Messiah. He was not Elijah. He was not the prophet. He was not worthy even to untie the thong of Jesus' sandals. What John was seemed to matter to other people, but it didn't matter to him. What John understood was that life was not all about him. He cleared himself of arrogance and self-importance, and in doing so, he cleared the way for the Christ life to come into his life, so that others in him would see the Christ life reflected, would see the Christ light. John made straight the way of the Lord into his own life, and effectively, through him, to other people. As our last hymn put it, he allowed himself to be a channel for God's peace into the world. Those of us who've had the privilege of visiting John Cook over the past 4 years, years when he is so appreciated escaping from the clutter of everyday life with which so many of us block the way of God into our lives, we'll know of John's delight in the fact that in some small way, in his room in the nursing home, he's been a channel for the gospel, offering ministry and support to staff, fellow residents, and all his visitors. Indeed, in many ways, he's seen it as one of the richest periods of his ministry. Perhaps it is easier in a nursing home when you've disposed of most of your worldly goods and your basic practical needs are provided. But the challenge of Advent, of course, is not that Christians should all go pack up and go and live in nursing homes. The challenge of Advent is to us where we are now, to become channels of God's grace. Where we are now, to clear the path, to clear the clutter, to make straight the way for Christ's life into our lives. It's the model provided for us by the baby at Bethlehem, who grew up to empty himself and become a servant, even eventually giving up his life for us, the servant king, as we'll soon be singing. John the Baptist had discovered this great truth for himself, as he recognized that life was not all about him, that as he emptied himself of self, so into that space came humility and joy. Into his life came the freedom to be himself, himself as God meant him to be. And into his life came the ability to point others to Jesus with authority and conviction. John himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The light of Christ had uncluttered access into his life, and through him it shone out to others. John himself was not the light. These are words that we shall hear again over Christmas. It's in the passage at the beginning of John's Gospel that we hear so often at Christmas. And as we do this year, let's reflect again on John's model of living and see it as a personal challenge. Not necessarily his reported habit of eating wild locusts and honey, but the core of his life, where he emptied himself to make straight the way of the Lord into his life. And so as we light our third Advent candle, the challenge of Advent narrows to you and me. And it does so at a time of year when it's really difficult for us to respond. Trapped as we are in the culture around us, programmed as we are in these weeks before Christmas to be busy and stressed out. But nevertheless, the challenge still rings out, as it has over the centuries. Make straight the way of the Lord into your world and into my world. It was the same challenge that Paul offered to the Thessalonians at the end of his epistle, which is another of the readings on our sheet today. Having written earlier in the epistle about the time when Christ will return, he finishes with these words, "My brothers and sisters, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this." Make straight the way of the Lord. Amen.